The sudden collapse of the cryptocurrency exchange FTX has raised a lot of uncomfortable questions about the cryptocurrency industry. What happened? And what does it mean for the future of Bitcoin and for cryptocurrency in general? That's what we're going to talk about today on Crisis Point. Hello, I'm Eric Sammons, your host and the editor-in-chief of Crisis Magazine. Before I get started, I want to encourage everybody to like this video, like this audio, however you're listening to it, watching it, please like it. Also, I would ask you to subscribe to the channel wherever you might be listening to it. Okay, also, you can follow us on social media at Crisis Mag, at most of the different social media outlets. And I also want to mention again our new website. Crisis Magazine has a brand new website. We just updated it last week. I think it looks really nice. We have had a few little issues, but mostly they've been pretty minor. We've got most of them fixed. But the website itself looks great. It's working fine. So I just want to encourage people to go to that crisismagazine.com. Okay, so FTX imploded, and this is a big deal. Why? What is FTX? What does this all mean? And this is a topic that I admit I'm very interested in. I actually wrote a book about Bitcoin. It came out in 2015 about the basics of Bitcoin. I've been involved in cryptocurrency for a while. In fact, I want to start with that. So I bought my first Bitcoin. It wasn't even a full Bitcoin, but I bought it back in December of 2013. I think it cost about, one Bitcoin cost about $800, something like that. When I bought like 0.1, I think, at the time. And so it was December of 2013. I bought it from Coinbase. 2 months later, in February of 2014, Mt. Gox went under. Now, what is Mt. Gox? Mt. Gox was the main exchange for cryptocurrency. It's the main way you could buy and sell cryptocurrency was Mt. Gox. It was run by this dude in Japan who's living in Japan, and it was a mess. And the whole thing went under, and a lot of people lost money. And a lot of people at the time felt like this is a major blow to Bitcoin, major blow to cryptocurrency. After this is 2014, so crypto had only been around for about 5 years. It was a very new industry. People thought this might be the end of cryptocurrency. Of course, the fact that we're talking about it 8 years later, almost 9 years later, means that clearly it was not the end. But at the time, I was nervous. I had just bought some Bitcoin. I thought this is kind of cool. I like the technology. I like the monetary policy kind of behind cryptocurrency. So I'm going to get into this. And then this major exchange just implodes. And so I was reminded of that with the news about FTX imploding. So FTX is one of the major cryptocurrency exchanges, although it's very new. It's actually not an older one, like, for example, Coinbase, which has been around for a long time, since I think 2012. Also, Gemini is another big one. But FTX was very well known because it had a Super Bowl commercial. It had the naming rights to the Miami Heat basketball stadium. And it was all over the news. And the founder of FTX, Sam Bankman-Fried, he was all over the place too. He was this nerdy young guy, and he was in front of Congress, on TV, a lot of different places. But now all that has fallen apart. And so I want to take one step back real quick, because I'm going to assume most people listening to this don't know all the ins and outs of cryptocurrency. I'm not going to act like you know everything about it. The first thing to note is, what is an exchange? That's essentially the ability to buy and sell Bitcoin. It's a website that allows you to buy and sell Bitcoin and also to hold it if you want to, and trade Bitcoin, trade cryptocurrency for other cryptocurrency. So I could, for example, buy Bitcoin, trade it for Ethereum or something like that. Now, the important thing to note about exchanges is they are typically a centralized way to do this, meaning there's a company behind it. Now, when we talk about most cryptocurrency like Bitcoin, it's decentralized, meaning I could send you Bitcoin, you can send me Bitcoin from our own individual wallets, and there's no third party involved. There's no centralized, there's no bank, there's no centralized exchange, anything like that. However, that doesn't work out that great practically if I want to buy some Bitcoin. So for example, let's say I want to buy $100 worth of Bitcoin. Who do I go to? Do I try to go down the street and find somebody who actually owns some and would be willing to take my cash, write them a check or something like that, and then he sends it to me? Well, sure, you can do that, but that's very difficult to do. So these exchanges, they developed because they basically made it easy to match buyers and sellers of cryptocurrency. So if I want to buy Bitcoin, I can just go on an exchange like FTX, well, not anymore, or Coinbase or Gemini, and I'll link my bank account and I'll say, okay, buy me $100 worth of Bitcoin, and they put it in my account. Now, the problem with exchange, that's a great service. Exchanges are important, and I think that they serve a very important need in the cryptocurrency space, and centralized exchanges are not in and of themselves evil. The biggest problem with exchanges are people leave their cryptocurrency on it. So, for example, I buy $100 worth of Bitcoin, and I leave it on my exchange, let's say Coinbase. Well, what happens if Coinbase goes under? I lose all my Bitcoin. I lose my $100 worth of Bitcoin or whatever it's worth now. And so that's where the problem happens, because most cryptocurrency exchanges none of them have the backing of the federal government, in the sense that if you have a savings account at your bank making your 0.0001% interest, and up to $250,000 is protected by the government. So if the bank goes under, you don't lose your money if it's under $250,000. That's not the same with a cryptocurrency exchange. If it goes under, you lose your money. And that's what happened with Mt. Gox. And that's what happened then with FTX. Basically, what happened was they just had to shut down and say, oh, sorry, we don't have any, we don't have your funds anymore. And now there's talk about there being a hack and that money was taken out, but I think a lot of this, I suspect it might have been high-level people at FTX who were actually taking their crypto out of there quickly, not necessarily a hack that made that happen. I don't have any proof one way or the other, but we'll find out hopefully someday. So what happened was, is once there was problems with FTX, people started realizing, okay, things are going on here with FTX, that people started trying to withdraw their crypto as fast as possible from the exchange. Well, that's a bank run. And what happens when a bank run happens? The bank goes under. And that's what happened with FTX. Now, a couple things about FTX. First of all, as I already mentioned, the founder is Sam Bankman-Fried, who basically just goes by SBF. And he is a major, his mom is a major Democratic Party fundraiser. He is a major donor to Democratic Party. He was the second largest donor to President Biden's 2020 campaign, behind only Michael Bloomberg. And he is the second biggest donor to the Democratic Party, behind only the guy everybody talks about. Oh, I'm blanking. Lie. What's the guy's name who is the big bad guy? Anyway, y'all know who I'm talking about. So hopefully maybe somebody in comments at some point will tell me who I'm talking about. So he is a major fundraiser and donor to the Democratic Party, SBF is. And so that's interesting for a lot of reasons. And I think one of them, Soros, thank you. Soros, George Soros, that's who I was thinking of. So anyway, so that's who I was talking about. Okay, so what's interesting about FTX, and I want to talk a little bit why FTX fell in a minute, but there's a lot of questions surrounding FTX. One of them is this connection between FTX and the Democratic Party, and also Ukraine. When back in March, it was announced that FTX was handling a lot of the crypto donations to Ukraine. So you put your Ukraine flag on your Twitter bio. You were all like, yeah, let's pro-democracy, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, I want to give some of my crypto to Ukraine. Well, FTX handled a lot of that. You basically, it was through FTX. So FTX, then the crypto would go to Ukraine. Ukraine would then cash that out. And they're cashing it out through FTX. So basically, they're giving money to FTX, cash, fiat money. And then so that's what's happening there. And so there's just all this. But then also the FTX was a major donor then to the Democratic Party. So there's questions about, is it possible that there was money laundering going on? Perhaps if we don't know. I mean, we just don't know. There's a lot of questions unanswered here, but there's definitely some funny business going on here between FTX, the Democratic Party, and Ukraine, which is why I think, while there's a lot of calls for, okay, we need to punish SBF, we need to punish FTX, stuff like that, I don't think anything major is going to happen, because it's going to be like Epstein's client list. It's just going to be buried and nobody's going to care, because it's going to be top people. Now, somebody did mention that if there's a bankruptcy proceeding of FTX, every client is going to be listed on there and their holdings. This happened with other crypto, another crypto, Celsius, that went under a few months ago. Same thing happened. They published the names and holdings of everybody there. So that might be interesting. I wouldn't be surprised though if a judge decides to blank out some of the names because they're elites. So ultimately, though, FTX going under has had a massive effect in the cryptocurrency market. A lot of people have lost money, because if you had money at FTX, I'm sorry, you're probably not getting it back. Or most, you're getting pennies on the dollar back. And also other crypto companies are impacted. BlockFi is a very popular crypto exchange as well. It offered a credit card. It did lending services. Well, it's basically, it paused withdrawals. It shut down its credit card. And it's probably going to go under because it was in bed with FTX. Salt Lending is another one that lended crypto. It just announced today, I got an email today. I have accounts with a lot of these places, even though I don't even have any crypto with most of them. So I kind of know what's going on. Salt Lending is another one. They just now say, oh, we're not going to do withdrawals, deposits right now because we're in bed with FTX as well. And it's affecting us. So this is a major stain, a major downturn in the crypto world. A lot of cryptocurrencies went down on news of this. Bitcoin, Ethereum, others went down, although a lot of them bounced back up. But so why did it go under? Ultimately, I think, I mean, there's a lot of reasons. There was some corruption there, some bad people, bad actors involved here. But ultimately, it comes down to the fact that what's called they created a company token. What this is called FTT. What this is a way that cryptocurrency companies often raise money. They create a new cryptocurrency out of thin air. And they basically say, okay, this is the cryptocurrency we're going to use on our platform. And this is what is going to basically fund a lot of our stuff. So people pay to get that token. I'm calling it a token because rather than a cryptocurrency, I mean, it's technically in a lot of ways a cryptocurrency, but it's a token in the sense it almost is like a Chuck E. Cheese token. I don't know if I'm dating myself with the Chuck E. Cheese reference there, but it's like a Chuck E. Cheese token. It's worthless outside of Chuck E. Cheese, but it's worth a lot at the restaurant. Likewise, an FTT, the company token, is essentially worthless outside of FTX, but it gains value. It gains real value because people are like, hey, this is now worth 50 cents. It's now worth a dollar. I can exchange it at FTX for actual money. And so what happens, though, is the company then uses that token. And it uses it to raise money. It uses it for lending, for other financial dealings. And so a lot of the company's worth and future is based upon that token. And so if something happens to the token bad, something bad happens to the company. Now, I just want to note that a company token by itself is not wrong. For example, on the Library or Odyssey platform, the video sharing platform, it uses the library token, and it uses it for legitimate reasons. You can use it to bump up your promotion of your video and things like that. So it's not necessarily bad. The problem, though, is what FTX was doing. They were taking their FTT token, which had gained a lot of value, and they were using it as collateral. They were like sending it to a lending company that they were connected to called Alameda Research, that was lending out, and the FTT token was the basis of all their money. Well, the problem with an exchange in particular having a token like this is they can game the price, because what they can do is they can just create fake trades and to jack up the price of it. So if you need more money, you just jack up the price of the FTT token, and now you have more money. And it can, you know, billions of dollars more money for lending, and people just trust that the FTT token is worth something. And so essentially you're creating this house of cards, and it all falls apart because, again, what happened was all of a sudden there was a lack of confidence in FTX, which leads to a lack of confidence in the FTT token, which leads to a run on it. And that's a bank run. And so it goes under. Now, what led to the loss of confidence? I think a lot of it had to do with another cryptocurrency exchange, the largest one, Binance. They didn't like what SBF was doing. And so they basically started the head of CZ, who's the head of Binance. Everybody's known by their initials, CZ, SBF. Anyway, CZ started tweeting against FTX, and that started like people losing confidence in it. And then again, the bank run happened. And so what does this mean? So we have the fact that FTX is probably, it's dead. There's a decent chance that if they can find them, SBF, Sam Bankman-Fried, will be arrested. I mean, his net worth, I think, went from $15 billion to $1 billion in like a day, which is like the fastest ever grown, dropped forever, you know, ever. And it's not going to even be $1 billion probably as I'm recording this. And it eventually is probably worthless. Whatever he bought, he'll have to sell in bankruptcy. Of course, he might be able to escape by going outside the law. So what are the consequences of this? First of all, FTX, again, is under. A lot of other cryptocurrencies are going to be under. Like BlockFi is probably going under. I don't know about Salt Lending, some other ones. Anything that was connected to FTX is probably going to go under. And this is actually, this is sad, because what's happened is real people have lost money. This isn't just something where it's a bunch of billionaires lost money, but real people actually lost money. And so it is unfortunate when that happens. So somebody in the comments just said, I hate when my losses are in the billions. Yeah. Isn't it awful when you go from 15 billion to 1 billion? Well, I think that's just the start though. What does it mean though for the industry? Is it the end of cryptocurrency? That's what everybody's saying after Mt. Gox failed in 2014. Is that what's going to happen here? I do think it's a blow. It's a confidence blow, because I think a lot of people, most people, don't understand the difference between the cryptocurrency itself and cryptocurrency businesses. There is a big difference. So you have cryptocurrency itself, and then you have the businesses that surround it. What do I mean by that? So Bitcoin, a cryptocurrency, the main one, the top one, the first one, itself is a protocol. It's an internet protocol. It's like HTTP, you see, that's the protocol that allows you to go to websites. It's not like that's a company. No company owns that. So for example, if Google went on out of business tomorrow, HTTP still exists. You still can get the websites. You might not have your Chrome browser anymore, but you can get somebody else's browser. That still exists. Likewise, the protocols of cryptocurrency like Bitcoin, they still exist no matter what happens to the companies that surround them. So if FTX goes under, it's a confidence drain on cryptocurrency, but it doesn't affect cryptocurrency itself. The problem is a lot of people don't know that. So they're just like, I want to get out of this. I don't want anything to do with this. But the fact is, and I'll get to this later in a little bit, if you had followed the kind of rules of owning cryptocurrency, you would not have had any problems with FTX going under. The problem is people don't understand that. So I don't think cryptocurrency itself is going to go under. I do think, however, that this is going to elevate Bitcoin above other cryptocurrencies even more than it is. What do I mean by that? There's something in the cryptocurrency world called Bitcoin maximalists. It's the people who believe that Bitcoin is the only true cryptocurrency. All the rest of them are crap. I won't even say what the name of them are, but the different altcoins, they aren't worth anything. Only Bitcoin matters. Now, I'm not a Bitcoin maximalist, never have been, but I have to admit I'm getting more towards that direction, because a lot of these cryptocurrencies are based on centralized companies. They do have certain people that basically run them. Ethereum is a good example. I like Ethereum. It's the second biggest cryptocurrency, but ultimately it's very much based upon the guy who runs Ethereum's foundation and controls it. And so I think if he went under, if something happened to him or he went crazy, I think, yeah, Ethereum could be in a lot of hurt. And most cryptocurrencies are like that. Bitcoin's not like that. The guy who invented it, Satoshi Nakamoto, a pseudonym, nobody knows who it is. Nobody knows if he's even alive. He has no connection to Bitcoin anymore. And so ultimately, I think Bitcoin is going to be stronger because of this, whereas other cryptocurrencies are going to be weaker, because people are going to see like, hey, the strength of these cryptocurrencies are very much based upon whether or not the founders, the people who run it, whether or not they're good actors or not, and if they're competent and if they're honest. And a lot of them might not be, whereas Bitcoin, you don't have to worry about that. Now, what's another impact, though, on the crypto industry in a whole? And that is, of course, not surprisingly, there have now been calls to increased regulation of the cryptocurrency industry. This is always the government on every situation, no matter what, anything bad happens, we're going to regulate more. We're the solution to every problem. And so that's going to be what happens here is there's going to be a call for more regulation. I already saw Janice Yellen already call for more cryptocurrency regulation. The problem, of course, is that what will happen is if they do more regulation, I'm sure they will, the regulation won't touch the elites who caused this problem at FTX, like the Democratic donors and people like that. It will hurt regular people, just average people who want to get into cryptocurrency because their savings account has a 0.0001 interest rate. It's going to be things that will hurt them. And regulation is not the solution. What's the most highly regulated industry in the world? The banking and financial industry. And what happened in 2008? The whole thing went kaplooey, even though it was highly regulated. The housing industry, all these different industries are regulated greatly, yet we still had the crash of 2008. And it's not like you don't have banks doing terrible things all the time with their money. I mean, there's been multiple cases where banks have been found to be havens for money laundering and things like that. But so the call for regulation is really just another example of government officials saying we need more control. They're not trying to protect the little guy. That's what they'll say about it. Really, they're saying we need to control it. And this will be added to this will be a push for CBDCs. What's that? Central bank digital currencies. Those are cryptocurrencies that are actually controlled by the government, controlled by a central bank. And those, I've said this before on the podcast, that's very scary. My number one fear for the future is World War III happening. My number two fear probably is CBDCs, that we're going to have total control of our money supply, even more than we do now, where they can even tell you, no, you can't use your money at that store. Oh, no, you said that on YouTube. You can't. You're not going to be able to use your money anymore. And that's basically what they're trying to go towards, is they're trying to get rid of all the decentralized stuff and centralize it. The fact is, though, the problem is centralization. The solution is more decentralization. One of the most exciting developments in the crypto world over the past few years is decentralized exchanges. They're not ready for prime time yet. I've used a few of them and they're just not that great. They're not user-friendly. They have a lot of issues. But this is a situation where you can exchange crypto online with other owners of crypto and it's all decentralized. Nobody's controlling it. And it's, you know, using different protocols, different technology. And I think that, of course, is the real future, because then you have a free market where there's nobody who's behind the scenes taking your money and laundering it for something or giving it to Joe Biden or anything like that. It's just a matter of I'm exchanging my Bitcoin with another person, maybe somebody named Anthony who lives in New York or something like that. That and it's all done without any other middleman, because the exchange, the decentralized exchange, is just a web program, basically. So I do think that centralization is really the step forward, and I think we have to do that's what really we should be supporting. And I also think this is the case, you know, as Catholics, I think this is something we should be behind. I've written about this before. I've talked about this before. Because the CBDCs will be used against Catholics. There's no question in my mind, it will be used against Catholics. And so decentralized exchanges, decentralized cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin are essential, I think, for developing the alternative economies we're going to need as Catholics going forward. Now, as far as the crypto space as well, I do think we're probably going to endure a long crypto winter, as they call it. After Mt. Gox fell in February 2014, the price of Bitcoin had been $1,000 a Bitcoin a couple months before that. It did not reach $1,000 again for 3 years. So for over 3 years, it did not reach its all-time high. Now, the all-time high of cryptocurrency of Bitcoin right now is like $69,000, I think. And I think last I checked, it was like around $16,000. So we're nowhere near the all-time high anymore. And it could be years before we get back to that. I think that's a very plausible scenario. Now, anybody who's into crypto to get rich quick, well, you deserve to lose. I mean, you deserve to lose your money, because it's not a get rich quick thing. It's really, I believe, it's not even a get rich thing. It's a way to have alternative economies outside the purview of a very oppressive governments. And so I think that's the real reason we want that. So I do think it could be years as we work out the problems. I think stuff like this ends up being good in the end because it gets rid of the bad actors. So for example, if Coinbase survives all this, and I think they will, it shows again, they survive these beatings that happen in the crypto industry, and they were able to be stronger because of it. They've survived many crypto winners before. If they continue to survive, you can put more faith in them. Now, that being said, do not keep your cryptocurrency on exchanges. There's a saying in the crypto world of not my keys, not my coins. Meaning if you don't control the keys to the Bitcoin, in other words, they can be moved without your permission, then you don't actually own them. And so if you have cryptocurrency, Bitcoin or whatever on an exchange, you need to really get it off. You need to put it on your own, preferably hardware wallet. That you get, you buy my book, Bitcoin Basics. Maybe I'll try to put a link to it in the show notes after I'm finished here. Buy my book, Bitcoin Basics. If you understand how that works, you could Google it as well. But basically, get your crypto off the exchanges. Don't look at crypto as a get rich quick scheme. Look at it instead as a way to have funds that are not controlled, that cannot be touched by the government. Now, if you have an exchange, it can be touched by the government, but if they're outside of the exchange and you actually have the keys, then they can't be controlled by government. So ultimately that's what I think. I think that the cryptocurrency industry will survive. I think various companies may fail. I mean, I'm old enough to remember the dot-com days of the late 90s, early 2000s. A lot of companies that were the future of the internet in the late 1990s no longer exist. And so, you know, Ask Jeeves is the first one that comes to my mind. But there's a lot of them that just did not survive. They had big Super Bowl commercials and they no longer exist, but the internet still exists. Likewise, FTX had big Super Bowl commercial. Everybody talked about them. They had Tom Brady as one of their spokesmen. They were the darling and they're not going to exist anymore. But the cryptocurrency industry will still continue to exist. Just like the internet exists, so will cryptocurrency. So I'm still bullish long-term on cryptocurrency, its uses, the reasons for it. I don't think this is a long-term problem. I think it helps weed out the bad actors. But again, not your keys, not your coins. Don't take your money off of exchanges. Use them just to trade and get the money off as soon as you're finished trading. Okay, well, that's it for now. I hope this was educational for people. I hope people understand what's going on a little bit better with FTX, with the cryptocurrency industry. Until next time, everybody, God love you.